It's a massive structure. It has very thick walls. It has 2 tons of sand below, 2 tons of sand above, so that the oven itself is forms of thermal mass.
They used to be found in towns across country Australia, enormous Scotch ovens that used radiant heat to cook the bread. Most fell into disrepair with the advent of mass-produced industrial-sized bakeries, but some like this one at Adelong in southern New South Wales are firing up again thanks to people like John Rose. John used to be a senior bureaucrat living in Sydney, but now you find him and his wife, Jane, up to their elbows in dough in this small country town.
When I light a fire in my firebox for this oven, and from zero temperature, I need to run the oven for about 3 days to build a quantity of heat into that oven, into those bricks and into that sand. Then when I close that fire down, ready for baking, that heat will come back into my baking chamber. And as I load bread and unload bread and I lose heat from the oven, that heat will come back out of the bricks and back out of the sand to keep it, the baking chamber, at a baking temperature.
And the sand is also what holding the heat in as you are baking at the time.
Yeah. It absorbs the heat from my fire and then feeds that heat back in when I kill the fire to bake my bread. So I have no fire going when I bake my bread.
Hello, I'm Michael Kavner. John and Jane Rose have put a lot of work into restoring this Scotch oven to its former glory. When they first came to Adelong, it was covered in blue acrylic paint. But now the bakery is very much back in business, with John and Jane selling their signature Stella Rossa sourdough loaves at farmers' markets in the district.
This style of Scotch oven that was built from about the 1870s to the 1930s, all very similar, a very straightforward design to A, hold the heat in its thermal mass, and B, to create a baking chamber that could do up to 300 loaves at a time. Every small town had a bakery. Some medium-sized towns would have had two or three of these. And they survived right through to the 1930s, but when industrial baking took over, the large baking conglomerates, one way or another, conspired to either destroy or put out of commission most of these. And so it's why it's more common to find them now surviving in small towns, which tended to be off the radar for the large industrials.
So let's have a look at the oven itself.
What you can see right in the middle of it is quite a small cast iron door.
Yeah, given the size of the entire structure, the door itself would be less than a metre square, but the brickwork is quite substantial. Now you look into it, we've got bricks that are quite flat, but there's not much room from the ceiling of the oven through to the floor.
The good thing about that is that you don't need a lot of height for your bread. The higher it goes, the harder it is to heat that space. So you actually want quite a low domed area to preserve two things. One, obviously, is heat, but the other is when you load your bread, the bread lets off steam, and it's the steam that helps give the bread that oven kick that people are looking for. So it goes in the dough a little bit flat, but with the right heat and the right amount of steam, it puffs up into a beautiful high loaf. On the right-hand side, we have our firebox. It's like your normal wood-burning stove at home, I guess.
Except it's not that large, actually. Well, it's not enormous. It does go back fairly deep.
Yeah. So I get good wood, like a stringy bark or a box in there, and I build that up quite high. So the flames are roaring into my baking chamber.
At the same time, heating the sand.
Exactly right. Heating the bricks and the sand. And my flue is on the opposite side to the firebox. So the flames and the heat have to travel from the right-hand side through my baking chamber to the flue on the left-hand side, where the smoke and ash goes up the chimney. As that heat is circulating through from my firebox to the opposite side to my flue, that's heating all those bricks, the floor of the baking chamber, which is also bricks, and the sand above and below. It's the radiant heat that matters. 2 hours before I bake, I close my firebox doors and that fire goes out. 2 hours later, I will then give a nice thorough mop with a wet mop to that hot hearth in the baking chamber, which serves two purposes. It cleans any ash that's come out of the fire and evens out any hot spots of temperature. When that's done, I can then load my bread.
Is there a difference in the bread you make using this oven to if you had installed a commercial operation?
Two things. There are people that claim that they can taste the difference in an oven that's been heated naturally with that radiant heat. That's what some people say. But I also say that the entire process that I'm forcing myself to go through in hand shaping all my bread, hand loading it into an oven that's been fired by wood that I cut and loaded myself, is a part of the process of putting something into that bread that otherwise wouldn't be there.
And very different to the commercial line of bread, which in a way played a part in the demise of these sort of ovens.
Yes. I mean, you can buy bread now in a shop or a supermarket that has hardly ever been touched by a human hand. That's a remarkable technological achievement, but as far as my customers are concerned, it's lost something, mainly flavour, taste and goodness.